Chapter 35. Juliet followed the others into mechanical. She was the last one through. The arms on one of the security gates had been busted backward. A crowd surged over the gates while some hopped sideways through the gap. The guard who was meant to prevent this helped people down on the other side and directed them where to go. Juliet threw herself over and hurried through the crowd toward the bunk room where the kids had been put up. Someone was clattering around in the break room as she passed, hopefully looting needed things. Hopefully looting. The world had gone suddenly mad. The bunk room was empty. She assumed Courtney had already gotten there. No one was getting out of mechanical anyway, and it was probably already too late. Juliet doubled back down the hall and headed for the winding stairs that penetrated the levels of mechanical. She surged with a packed crowd down to the generator room and the site of the dig. There were piles of tailings and chunks of concrete studded with rebar around the oil rig, which continued to bob its head up and down as if it knew the sad ways of the world, as if depressedly resigned to what was happening, as if saying, "Of course, of course." More tailings and rubble from the dig formed piles inside the generator room, everything that hadn't yet been shoveled down the shaft to Mine 6. There was a scattering of people, but not the crowds Juliet had hoped. The great crowds were likely dead. And then a fleeting thought. An urge to laugh and feel ridiculous. The idea that the smoke was nothing, that the airlock up top had held, that everything was okay and that her friends would soon rib her about this panic she had caused. But this hope vanished as quickly as it came. Nothing could cut through the metallic fear on her tongue, the sound of Peter's voice telling her that the airlock was wide open, that people were collapsing, Lucas telling her that Sims was dead. She pushed through the crowd pouring into the tunnel and called out for the children. Then she spotted Courtney and Walker. Walker was wide-eyed, his jaws sagging. Juliet saw the crowds through his eyes and realized the burden she had left Courtney with, the challenge of dragging this recluse once again from his lair. "Have you seen the kids?" she yelled over the crowd. "They're already through," Courtney yelled back. "With your father." Juliet squeezed her arm and hurried into the darkness. There were lights flashing ahead, the few who had battery-powered torches, those with miners' hats on. But between these beams were wide swaths of pitch black. She jostled with the invisible others, who materialized solidly out of shadow. Rocks clattered down from the piles of tailings to either side. Dust and debris fell from the ceiling, eliciting shrieks and curses. The passage was narrow between the rows of rubble. The tunnel had been made for a handful of people to pass through, no more. Most of the massive hole bored through the earth had been left full of scraps the digging had generated. Where log jams formed, some people attempted to scamper up and along the tops of these piles. This just pushed heaps of dirt and rock down on those between, filling the tunnel with screams and curses. Juliet helped dig someone out and urged everyone to stay in the center, not to shove, even as someone practically climbed over her back. There were others who tried to turn back, afraid and confused, and distrusting of this dark run in a straight line. Juliet and others yelled for them to continue on. A nightmare formed of bumping into the support beams hastily erected in the center of the tunnel, of crawling on hands and knees over tall piles from partial cave-ins, of a baby crying at the top of its lungs somewhere. The adults did a better job of dampening their sobs, but Juliet passed by dozens crying. The journey felt interminable, as if they would crawl and stumble through that tunnel for the rest of time, until the poisonous air caught them from behind. A jam of foot traffic formed ahead, people shoving at each other's backs, and flashlight beams played over the steel wall of the digger. The end of the tunnel. The access door at the back of the machine was open. Juliet found Raff standing by the door with one of the flashlights, his pale face aglow in the darkness, eyes wide and white. "Jules!" She could barely hear him over the voices echoing back and forth in the dark shaft. She made her way down to him, asked him who had already passed through. "It's too dark," he said. "They can only get through one at a time. What the hell is going on? Why all the people? We thought you said..." "Later," she told him. hoping there would be a later. She doubted it. More likely there would be piles of bodies at both ends of this silo. That would be the great difference between 17 and 18. Bodies at both ends. "The kids?" she asked, and as soon as she did, she wondered why, with all the dead and dying, she would concentrate on so few. The mother she never was, she suspected. The primal urge to look after her brood, when far more than that was in peril.
"Yeah, quite a few kids came through."
He paused and shouted directions to a couple who didn't want to enter the metal door at the back of this digger. Juliet could hardly blame them. They weren't even from Mechanical. What did these people think was going on? Just following the panicked shoutings of others. Probably thought they were lost in the mines. It was a wild experience, even for Juliet, who had scaled hills and seen the outside.
"What about Shirley?" Juliet asked.
He aimed his torch inside.
"Saw her for sure. I think she's in the digger, directing traffic."
She squeezed Raph's arm, looked back at the writhing darkness of shadowy forms behind her.
"Make sure you get through," she told him,
and his pale face nodded his consent. Juliet squeezed into the queue and entered the back of the digger. Cries and shouts rattled within, like children screaming into empty soup cans. Shirley was at the back of the power plant, directing the shuffling and shoving mass of people through a crack in the darkness so narrow that everyone had to turn sideways. The lights that had been rigged up inside the digger to work the tailings were off, the backup generator idle, but Juliet could feel the residual heat from it having been run. She could hear the clicking of metal as it cooled. She wondered if Shirley had been operating the unit in order to move the machine and its power plant back towards Silo 18. She and Courtney had been arguing over where the digger belonged.
"What the hell?"
Shirley asked Juliet when she spotted her. Juliet felt like bursting into tears. How to explain what she feared? That this was the end of everything they'd ever known? She shook her head and bit her lip.
"We're losing the silo,"
she finally managed.
"The outside's getting in. So why send them this way?"
Shirley had to yell over the clamor of voices. She pulled Juliet to the other side of the generator, away from all the shouting.
"The air is coming down the stairwell," Juliet said. "There's no stopping it. I'm going to seal off the dig."
Shirley chewed on this.
"Take down the supports?"
"Not quite.
The charges you wanted rigged up?"
Shirley's face hardened.
"Those charges are rigged from the other side. I rigged them to seal off this side, to seal off this silo, to protect us from the air over here."
"Well, now all we have is the air over here." Juliet passed Shirley the radio, which was all she'd taken from her home. Shirley cradled it in her arms. She balanced it atop her torch, which bloomed against Juliet's chest. In the light that spilled back, Juliet could see a mask of confusion on her poor friend's face.
"Watch over everyone," Juliet told her.
"Solo and the kids." She eyed the generator. "The farms here are salvageable, and the air..."
"You're not going to..."
Shirley started.
"I'll make sure the last of them get through.
There were a few dozen behind me, maybe another 100. Juliet grasped her old friend's arms. She wondered if they were still friends. She wondered if there was still that bond between them. She turned to go.
"No."
Shirley grabbed Juliet's arm, the radio falling and clattering to the floor. Juliet tried to yank free.
"I'll be damned,"
Shirley shouted.
She spun Juliet around. "I'll be goddamned if you're leaving me to this, in charge of this. I'll be goddamned."
There were cries somewhere, from a child or an adult. It was impossible to tell. Just a cacophony of confused and terrified voices echoing in the packed confines of that great steel machine. And in the darkness, Juliet couldn't see the blow coming. Couldn't see Shirley's fist. She just felt it on her jaw, marveled at the bright flash of light in the pitch black, and then remembered nothing for a while. She came to moments or minutes later. It was impossible to tell. Curled up on the steel deck of the digger, the voices around her subdued and far away, she lay still while her face throbbed. Fewer people. Just the ones who'd made it, and they were moving on through the bowels of the digger. She had been out for a minute or two, it seemed. Maybe longer. Much longer. Someone called her name, was looking for her in the black, but she was invisible, curled up on the far side of the generator in the shadow of shadows. Someone called her name. And then a great boom in the distance. It was like a sheet of 3-inch steel falling and banging next to her head. A great rumble in the earth, a tremor felt right through the digger, and Juliet knew. Shirley had gone to the control room and had taken her place. She had set off the charges meant to protect her old home from this new one. She had doomed herself with the others. Juliet wept. Someone called her name, and Juliet realized it was coming from the radio near her head. She reached for it numbly. Her senses scrambled. It was Lucas. "Luke," she whispered, squeezing the transmit button. His voice meant he was outside the steel locker, the airtight pantry full of food. She thought of Solo surviving for decades on those cans. Lucas could too, if anyone could.
"Get back inside," she said, sobbing. "Seal yourself off."
She cradled the radio in both hands and remained curled up on the deck.
"I can't,"
Lucas said. There was coughing, an agonized wheeze.
"I had to hear your voice one last time."
The next bout of coughing could be felt in Juliet's own chest, which was full to bursting.
"I'm done, Jules. I'm done."
"No."
She cried this to herself and then squeezed the radio. "Lucas, you get inside that pantry right now. Lock it and hold on. Just hold on." She listened to him cough and struggle to find his voice. When it came, it was a rattle.
"Can't. This is it. This is it. I love you, Jules. I love you."
The last was a whisper, barely more than static. Juliet wept and slapped the floor and screamed at him. She cursed him. She cursed herself. And through the open door of the digger, a cloud of dust billowed in on a cool breeze, and Juliet could taste it on her tongue, on her lips. It was the dry chalk of crushed rock, the remnants of Shirley's blast far down the tunnel. The taste of everything she had ever known. Dead.